This is June the 27th. We are in Las Vegas. And listeners, we are speaking with Peter Suave today with Wayne State University, professor of the accordion, probably a master professor of the accordion, and I'm sure he's going to tell us what the exact title is before we're finished with this interview. But I have some questions for Peter this morning because I sat through his lecture and I found some quite interesting things about what is happening in the world of the accordion today. But we're going to go back to the beginning with Peter because he has quite an interesting story to tell us. He learned at a very young age that he was going to become a professional accordionist. 3 years old, as a matter of fact. Peter, how is that possible?
Well, to be exact here, I was 3 years old and my father, who had moved to America from Italy, had purchased a small 48 bass red Scandale accordion. I'll never forget it. It was so attractive and sounded so good. And it was his dream to play the accordion as a youngster, but with the Second War and all in Italy, he did not have the opportunity to. So I was born in Detroit, and my father was visiting his parents in Italy, and I was just a little three-year-old at the time. He came back with his accordion, and in the back of his mind, he was kind of hoping that I'd be interested in it. When he showed me the instrument, and my eyes just lit up. I had already seen and heard accordions at family gatherings. And he asked me, "Do you want to play this?" I said, "Absolutely." Someone told my father that he should wait until I was 5 years old. I had to learn the alphabet. And in America, you learn the alphabet when you go to school. So my father, trying to be true to the rules, not knowing music himself, kind of locked the accordion in the case and kept it in the closet. And he would take it out at special holidays, maybe Christmas, Easter, and he'd show me, but I couldn't touch it. When I was 5 years old, finally he found a teacher for me, and that's how I started music.
You heard it here first on the Arizona Accordion Club website. We're going to fast forward a little bit now. You obviously have a passion for the accordion, and that was a piano accordion you learned to play on. And you went through some competitions with the piano accordion, and you were fairly successful. But you couldn't beat the players who were using chromatic accordion. What happened in your life at that time?
Well, I was 16 at the time, Bob. I had won a series of the highest awards in the competition level in the United States. I had won the virtuoso categories of the AAA and the ATG, Accordion Teachers Guild. And I had represented the United States in the World Cup. And when I heard live these chromatic accordion players, I was just mesmerized by some of the music, the literature they were playing that was written specifically for the chromatic style accordion, and their style of playing. So I was really inspired to adapt my style to a button keyboard. I had heard in jazz, I had heard Leon Sash from Chicago years ago on some recordings. He was doing some jazz work on the chromatic accordion, and I liked what I heard, and I had heard recordings of Joe Basile. He was a chromatic player, and also Gigi Stock, the great Italian folk player on chromatic, and the French players, 99% of them all played and still do play chromatic. So I wanted to make that adjustment. I also found out that the best concert accordions at that time, we're talking about 25 years ago, in the 70s and 80s, were the Russians, and they played chromatic accordions as well, or bayans to be more specific. So I was so juiced up, to learn the chromatic. I did something that really, I traveled some waters that no one had ever really traveled in quite the same situation. I was 16, I was already considered a young virtuoso. Some professionals in Europe said, "Well, it's kind of too late. You don't want to change at this time. If you were younger, it'd be different." I didn't believe so. I felt that, you know, an accordion is an accordion. And 6 months later, I was re-entering those competitions on the new style, at least new to me, new style chromatic accordion, and eventually I won what I wanted to win. So lots of glory, no money.
And how did you get into this international traveling then?
Well, then you realize, I guess it just kind of evolves naturally. To make a living and to share your music, you have to find the audiences. And an artist really, even though he's usually recognized in his own hometown, you really cannot work as an artist, as a concert musician, that much in your own town. I think there's only room for a few concerts a year, bona fide concerts. I mean, you could always work in a restaurant or do parties, but that's a different type of thing altogether. And I was trying to forge a career back then as a teenager, young, early 20-year-old, to play the accordion as a profession, as a concert musician, something that isn't done that often. So you have to travel.
All right, speaking about traveling, then, you're roughly 50 years old now?
41. But I'll tell you what. I was 18 and people were taking me for 29.
Okay.
And when I was 22, they thought I was 40. So age has never been a problem for me.
And how many million miles have you traveled?
Oh, quite a few. Northwest hasn't been that good to me, though. I don't get as many first class upgrades as I need.
As we all need.
Yes.
Your discussion this morning about what is happening in the world of the accordion today, I'd like to talk about five different countries. First of all, I'd like you to give us the status of what is happening in Italy.
Well, the accordion in Italy, right now there's a great pool of young jazz accordionists. They're very, very well trained. The original, most of them, talking about some guys like by the name of Biondini, Zanchini, Rastelli, several others. They're in their 20s. These gentlemen, they had a very good accordion musical training classically. Some of them even studied free bass, and they were inspired by the Frenchman Richard Galliano. And now they're making their own paths in music, playing jazz festivals. So that's very good. The folk music in Italy is always strong. The diatonics has always been strong.
And you just mentioned the next country I wanted to talk about, and that is France.
France has really been good to the accordion, mainly because the accordion is part of the social, cultural fabric. It's the singers, the pop icons of the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Edith Piaf, even Charles Aznavour, who's still singing, Yves Montand, etc., Jacques Brel, who was Belge, but very, very French related. They all needed the accordion for them to produce their art, to sing their songs. So if the accordion would have been missing, it would have been like Pavarotti singing without an orchestra or without music.
Is France the up-and-coming country in terms of the accordion?
It really hasn't changed. It's just really always been strong for the accordion. The accordion, it has a place in the French culture. The youth want to play it because either they want to play it for the dance halls, for the bal musette, as they say, the dancing to the waltzes and the tangos, or they also have been inspired by the great success of Richard Galliano, the French new jazz accordion star who was having a tremendous career and great international success as a headliner at all the major jazz festivals in the world. He's just a brilliant accordionist.
Now, what is happening in Russia today with the accordion?
Russia's going through a lot of changes. As I mentioned earlier, through the 60s, 70s, 80s, Russia was just getting stronger and stronger with their school of virtuosity. Of course, a great portion of that was sponsored by the state. Well, now that their government has changed, a lot of accordionists are struggling to make a living. And I think musicians in general are just having a harder time in Russia. There have to be fewer accordionists, and many of them have left the country.
And I found that quite interesting that Stas Van Gleskli left the country, and now he's invited Art Van Damme to go back to Russia in December this year to play a concert.
Yeah, Stasha's former professor, Leap's extremely successful concert pianist from Moscow and an educator. He has a huge festival every December, so it's nice that they're inviting art to play there.
All right, tell us all about China. I was flabbergasted at some of the comments you made this morning.
China's the new America. I think 100 years ago, Europeans said, well, you know, we need to go to the new country, even 50 years ago. I'm talking about the Europeans. Well, America has had a tremendous growth in so many ways. Now the new frontier is China. We hear about it all the time for commerce, for manufacturing, and for, believe it or not, accordions. We did not know that before, at least I didn't. We did not understand the scope, the magnitude of the accordion popularity in China. There must be millions of accordionists. I know that all the conservatories have a class for the accordion. They're predominantly Russian-trained because of being so close to the Russian border, and which means that a lot of them now are playing the button-style accordion, whereas before there were only piano accordions. And there's a great need for cross infusion of information. They're seeking information from the other countries.
And you mentioned you're going to be going to China twice in the next 6 months. What will you be doing?
Yes, and I've been asked to do a workshop. I don't know exactly where, but second week of August. We might be able to finally work it out this time. I've received invitations for the past 10 years, but there are always scheduling problems. For sure, in October, I'll be playing in Shanghai at the International Trade Show, Music Trade Show, and I'll be performing with the International Symphonic Orchestra of Italy, which is touring China, and I'll be a guest soloist with them in Shanghai. And then I'll be doing a solo tour in Beijing and several other cities, as well as going to Korea and Vietnam, which also has a very, very fine accordion department at the Hanoi Conservatory of Music.
I spoke with Mario Tak a little bit about their two trips to China, and he was just amazed at the quality of musicianship that they ran into, he and his wife, Mary Mancini, when they did their tours of China.
Yes, I've met several of the leading teachers from China and witnessed some of their students winning the competitions in Europe, and they're very, very well-trained and hard workers.
Peter, one more question. Let's get a little bit closer to home now. United States, what is going on with the accordion in the United States, and especially Wayne State University?
Well, the accordion today, I like to refer to it in North America as anything goes, but really anything goes in terms of culture and music. There is a place for the accordion. Sometimes the accordion is received with open arms. I think we just need to push more. Unfortunately, we don't have as much young youth, youth playing the accordion. We don't have the schools like we did, like we used to years ago. We don't have the studios, so the feeder system isn't there. That's unfortunate, but there are some talents, some exceptional talents. Somehow or another, they kind of make their way towards me sooner or later, and I'm there to offer some assistance. Sometimes they may even tutor under me at Wayne State University in Detroit, which has accepted the accordion as an instrument of study for a bachelor's or master's degree, performance that is, since the 1960s. So I've been on faculty for, we're going on about 8 or 9 years.
And that's where you're going to continue to perform your work, as it were.
Yes, yes. And it's been very, very rewarding to see these select talents, these students that have come. I've had them from France, from Oregon. Nick Fair just graduated. He's a fine young accordionist. Julian Lavreau just graduated, magna cum laude.
Tell us
just
a little bit more about Julian. He just won the competition.
He just won the first Van Dam International Jazz Accordion Competition. He's just a very, very extremely talented young man that came from France to pursue his musical culture. And he loves America, and he's been in the university program, worked very, very hard. My goal as a mentor has been to, and a friend, I do mix friendship with with all my dealings. That's just, I guess that's the Italian blood. But I was hoping, and I tried, and I think we've succeeded so far, in rounding his musical palate. You know, it's one thing to have a great accordion technique or flash, but you really have to look at the picture down the road when the individual is 40, 50, 60 years old. I would hate to hear regrets. Boy, I wish I would have learned that when I was younger. I wish I would have played the piano. I wish I would have studied as well as the accordion. I would have studied pharmacy or something else. You know, I think it's very important. As much as the accordion is my life, you have to be well-rounded. And the opportunities are there. We're in a very free society today. They're there. Sometimes we just have to push that door open and take it, whether it means studying conducting or whether it means studying another style of accordion or piano or jazz.
Well, I want to congratulate you personally, though, on pushing that door open and making the accordion your livelihood. That's a very rare thing today. And I'm sure that our listeners today on the Accordion Club website are going to enjoy your thoughts about what is happening in the world of the accordion today. Thank you for joining us.
Bob, thank you very much, and I just want to add, I'm very, very fortunate and blessed to have experienced life through the bellows of an accordion.